Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Joining us now for a few minutes is President Bush's former Homeland Security Secretary, Michael Chertoff, who has also been a Deputy U.S. Attorney General, U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, and much more, and now has a book very relevant to the Russian hacking issue called Exploding Data, Reclaiming Our Cybersecurity in the Digital Age. So, Secretary Chertoff, first of all, apologies for the truncated time. We can reconvene for a proper book interview, if you'd like, in the coming days, but welcome to WNYC.
Sure, happy to be on.
So if I can ask you about the point where the breaking news intersects with your book, what's your reaction to the summit from a cybersecurity perspective?
Well, I can't say I'm shocked that Vladimir Putin would deny Russian involvement. I think it's clear from the very compelling statements made by our intelligence community and the very detailed indictment unveiled by Special Counsel Mueller that there's powerful evidence that Russian military intelligence was behind hacking into the DNC and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. So I don't think I heard anything that would cause me to doubt that. In terms of where we go from here, I do think it's important to reaffirm that we are going to take steps to protect ourselves against hacking in the future. And that's, I think, the warning that Director Coates gave the other day and Secretary Nielsen gave the other day. So to me, what we heard today is kind of what one would expect from Vladimir Putin. Frankly, President Trump deflecting over to the issue of Hillary Clinton's emails seemed to me more a distraction than a really on-point response. But it shouldn't affect our underlying appreciation of the risk here.
When Trump was asked by a Reuters reporter if he holds Russia accountable for anything in particular in the deterioration of our relations, he would only cite past U.S. administrations and the Mueller investigation. Trump said only that both countries have made mistakes and there was no collusion. He did not answer the question about Russia's accountability for anything by listing even one thing. Did you find that remarkable?
I would say it's quite remarkable for an American president to take all the blame on the United States and not address what I think are, you know, quite well-known Russian actions that have contributed to the deteriorating relationship. I remember there was a lot of criticism about President Obama some years back when he appeared to be apologizing for some of America's mistakes or mishaps in the past. And I think Donald Trump was one of the main critics of that. So it's kind of ironic to have an apology tour now from the current administration. And I understand that there are things the United States has done that alarm the Russians and that they perceive as threatening. And it's worth understanding their point of view, but we shouldn't confuse that with what our core interests and core values are.
When Putin mentioned a joint working group on cybersecurity, how much do you consider that a real thing or a fake thing?
Well, I will say, I mean, I've had in the past had occasion to have some discussion with Russian officials, and I do think the Russians have suggested that there be some kind of an arrangement, like a hotline, for the possibility of a cyber incident, in much the same ways that we have a hotline for a potential nuclear incident. And I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, I do think it's fair to recognize that even Ronald Reagan believed it was important to have some way to deconflict or address potential problems, even with an adversary. And so I think, without overstating the value of this kind of relationship, having some kind of a hotline or the ability to discuss what might be a cyber incident or a cyber accident would be a useful thing. But again, you have to be careful not to overstate the value of it. And again, to quote Ronald Reagan, and I've got a cup with his famous quote in front of me, mm-hmm. Trust but verify.
And did you understand Trump's reference to missing servers? I don't think he was just talking about the Hillary Clinton server with her 33,000 missing emails that she had deemed personal. I think he was talking about some other server that's missing that would allegedly have evidence about whether Russia hacked the election or not.
I'm not aware of what he's talking about. I know there's been an issue about, you know, the server that Hillary Clinton had in her house. I don't know that that would indicate anything to do with the election hacking. And then the reference to a Pakistani, I assume, was an oblique reference to a staff member in the Democratic I think, a congressional committee that was apparently ultimately charged with some kind of a crime. I don't know that he had a server or that he used anything other than the kind of server everybody else uses. So, frankly, it was a little mysterious to me, and I have difficulty seeing the relevance to the election issue.
Putin also mentioned an arrangement regarding Syria that could also benefit Israeli security. Trump later referred to that, too. Do you understand what they're working on there with respect to that? If they're helping Assad in Syria, then presumably they're helping Iran, which presumably hurts Israel. So do you understand what they're getting at?
As I understand it, I think what the Israelis are raising is the possibility of treating Assad and treating Iran as separate issues and seeing if there would be an arrangement where they would essentially accept Assad in return for having the Russians and Assad essentially push the Iranians out of Syria. I can understand from Israel's standpoint why Iran is a much bigger concern than Assad is. On the other hand, from a humanitarian standpoint, Assad has been really a brutal oppressor of his own people, and it's hard to see a stable outcome in Syria where Assad remains in power after he's killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. But from Israel's standpoint, there's no question that Iran is the number one threat, and Assad is a secondary issue.
We just have about 45 seconds left. And again, apologies and an invitation for you to come back in a few days and talk about your new book, Exploding Data, Reclaiming Our Cybersecurity in the Digital Age. But in just like 30 seconds, there was no indication of this one way or another at the news conference. But do you think our elections are being protected any better for 2018 than for 2016?
I think the state officials are beginning to pay attention to this. I think the intelligence community is paying attention. I don't think we are where we need to be in the United States. And frankly, I don't know that we're where we need to be in other Western countries. So this is a very, very important issue. And right now, actually, I'm co-chairing a commission with Anders Rasmussen on election integrity from a transatlantic standpoint.
So let's continue the conversation another time. And Secretary Chertoff, we thank you very, very much for giving us a few minutes today.
Thank you.